Well, good morning and happy new year to you. It's great to see you all. And as we begin a new year, I just want to start by looking back a little bit because we call this, it's become Vision Sunday here, and we share what we believe as a leadership we've been thinking and pray about. So I just want to go back 3 years. We began 2013. Anybody remember that? Yes, some of you do. It was great. We began with 4 days of prayer, but we began with a real sense that God was saying that all we had to do in 2013 was pray. And if you remember, we had special prayer meetings as well as our normal prayer meetings, and we prayed through the year. We had prayer on the top of Parlick Fell. I think we prayed around the Guild Wheel. We did children's prayer times. We had a fantastic time of just creative prayer meetings. But it was because God had given us this picture of lighting fires across this whole area. And if you remember, the picture was a picture of like almost a grid, a tic-tac-toe grid or noughts and crosses grid. And there were flames in each area. And we were just kind of praying and saying, God, please do that. Please do that through us and help us to understand what that's about. Felt a bit kind of weird standing up on New Year's Sunday and saying, our vision this year is we're just going to pray. But it was a great year. Then that took us into the following year, which was really all about breakout. And what God asked us to do was come to a place where we began to understand that the fires that we were going to light across the area were to be breaking out beyond our walls, and began to ask you to pray and think, what would God call us to do? What would God call me to do? And how would that begin to be fulfilled? And so slowly we began to see people coming and saying, well, we want to do this ministry. And we were praying about this ministry. And people came to visit the spiritual leadership team meeting, sometimes with fear and trembling, but to say, this is what we think God's saying. What do you think? And so we actually began. Now, that kind of noughts and crosses grid, I said, this could take 10 years for us to fulfill. But then as last year began, 2014, and then into 2015 began, we began to see different ministries happening through us breaking out, either by using this place here to reach new people or literally going out beyond our walls for different reasons. And so we began with CAP. Last year, which is amazing already, and Lisa's working and doing great work there. We have Heart to Heart, which we began just simply, not just delivering Heart magazine, but knocking on doors, because we know that there are 5,000 to 8,000 new homes, and one of Ian's first job, Pastor Ian's first job this year, is to begin to meet with church leaders from this area, because we've already agreed that we're going to take a team approach so that the new homes will be visited by 4 different churches. We'll be working together so that it won't just be us. We'll be saying, look, there's some church in this area would love to share God's love with you but welcome you to the area. So that's going to take off a little bit more this year. And then Rise began, a ladies' ministry with Rise began. And, Steph, where are you? Come and tell us a bit about Rise. I've lost her. She's there.
So the last 12 months, I've seen the launch of Rise Women's Ministry. It's been an incredible year with 3 main events and 2 socials. So we started in March with our launch event. And then in July, we had 150 ladies in here for an afternoon tea with Esther Scholes and our very own jazz band. And then we finished the year in November with a dinner party for those that were quick enough to get tickets. It was a fantastic event, and we had Rachel Gardner and Abby Scott there as well. So it's just been great to see how everyone's really embraced every event that we've done this year. So for the next year, we've got starting off with a DD Mix workout social at the end of January, which I'm really excited about. And then we've got brunch in March with our very own Louise Hoyle speaking as well. So all the team are really excited for this next year and what we've got planned.
Brilliant, thanks. So you can see that things are happening. Then Stuart came on board, and just over a year ago, we had the first kind of taste of a choir. And then last year, the community choir took off. They did their own concert at the beginning of December. And we got over 30 people in the choir. and over half of those people don't come from Fulwood, which is fantastic. Now, I said it would take 10 years for that screen to get filled, and we're kind of just about over halfway there already. But we still want to see more, and we've got a meeting tomorrow night, the spiritual leadership team meeting, and there's a question mark in the bottom right-hand corner because somebody's coming to say, I think God might be saying this to me and my wife, and we just want to ask you what we think and what you think. And they've already been sharing with us, and we're going to just see what the next steps might be for another new breakout ministry. So keep your eyes peeled, keep praying, because God is doing things through us and beyond these walls. It's happening. Then last year, we began with planting potential. And this was always going to be a huge year because we began by saying we believe that if we're going to have 5,000 to 8,000 new homes within 10 minutes drive of this place, and the car park's full to overflowing, our building is saturated on a Sunday morning, then we need to begin to make space here. And so all through the year, right up to September, we were just sharing and praying and working towards beginning two morning services, 9:15 and 11 o'clock. And you were the early risers, bless you, for being here. And that began. And I've got to say, it's gone a billion times better than I ever thought. I have a grandson staying with me at the moment, and I said to him, well, that was 10 out of 10. He knew it was 10 billion out of 10 billion. So 10 billion out of 10 billion. And I just want to say, and I know Ian's already said it, but on behalf of staff and the spiritual leadership team, thank you. Because so many of you, for all these things that I've talked about already, have put in amazing hard yards. You're just incredible. Whether it's one of our Saturday night events, whether it's heart-to-heart delivery, whether it's CAP or RISE, or whether it's the choir, whether it's Sunday ministries, you put in such massive hard yards, and this place would not work or run without you. People come to me all the time and say, what's happening here, Andrew? And I say, I don't know. But they say, you're the boss. I said, number one, I'm not the boss. Number two, I don't know. Because so much is happening that I just cannot have a finger in every pie. Don't want a finger in every pie. The last thing I want to be is a RISE team meet. Never mind. But anyway, please, a big thank you. Whether you just stand on the door and hand the church life out, or whether you're in the kitchen washing up after coffee, thank you. You are amazing. And this place works well because we work well together. But it doesn't work unless we keep a high vision in our hearts of who God is and what he wants for us. And as we begin the year, that's what I want us to think about for a moment or two this morning. So we're going to turn to God's word. We're going to read from Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 7 through to the end of the chapter. It'll be on your screen. And if you haven't got a Bible and you'd like to follow it on the screen, Paul is writing to the Ephesian church. There's a whole group of seven churches in what we know as modern day Turkey. And Ephesians was the church, and they believe, Bible teachers believe that this was kind of what they call a circular letter, that it went out to all these seven churches. And Paul's writing a letter to encourage the church. So Ephesians 3, verse 7. I became a servant of this good news, this gospel, by the gift of God's grace given to me through the work of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent that was now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established together in love, may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, now and forever. Amen. Amen. He was full of hate. He was full of anger. He was full of venom. He had nothing more to do with his life than set his heart to get rid of Christians. He hated who they were. He hated what they stood for. And he got himself official papers and sanctions so that he could go and destroy Christians, put them in prison, have them put down if necessary, make them turn away from their faith. Can you imagine a man who was so filled with that kind of anger, that kind of hate, that he now writes and says, I want you to know the measure of God's love, which can't be measured. I want you to know its height and its depth and its breadth and its width. I want you to know that love, because there's nothing more central to life and living than the love of God. Paul had his life completely changed, completely turned upside down the day he met the risen Lord Jesus. Not just because he met him in his glory and his power, but because Paul was transformed by the love of God, completely changed by God's love. How can a man who was full of anger and venom write 1 Corinthians 13, that famous passage that says, love is patient, love is kind. If I haven't got any love, I've got nothing at all. How can a man write to the Galatian church and sum up who he is and what he is and say simply this? The whole measure of everything is simply this. To love through faith. Galatians 5. That's all. The summary of Paul's life, if he could summarize it, would simply be say, I just want to live in and live out the love of Jesus Christ. Our theme for this year is dig deeper. So there's no grand plans. Some of you are going, phew, fed up of Andrew and his grand plans. No, just simply dig deeper. And that's why for the last month we've been telling you about the Lent series. Because way back in the summer, before I had my sabbatical, I said to the leadership team, look, I'm just really sensing that, as I've been praying, that God is saying that next year should be about us being disciples. Remember, our mission is be disciples, make disciples. And it should be about us kind of just digging deeper in God changing our lives through his word and through his challenge into our lives. And I said, look, just pray about that. As I'm going away through summer. Let's come back into the autumn and see what that's saying. But when I was away, I went, had the privilege of going to the Free Methodist General Conference, which is kind of an international gathering of the Free Methodist churches in America once every 4 years. And guess what one of their themes was? It was disciple deeply. Love God, love others, disciple deeply. And I just felt that was a really powerful confirmation of what God was calling us to here as a church. And so it's through the autumn we prayed through this and thought through it. We believe that this theme of digging deeper and growing in our discipleship in Jesus Christ was going to be important for us this year. And that's why the Lent series with the transformed life is a way of us beginning to or exploring that. So sign on, get the book, sign on for a home group if you're not in one just for those 7 weeks. You never know, you might like it and it might stick. But through the Lent, we'll be preaching every Sunday morning. We'll be preaching on the transformed life because of this theme of digging deeper as disciples. Let's dig into this passage in Ephesians for a moment or two. I love part of the story of Lord of the Rings. In Lord of the Rings, Bilbo Baggins, who's a kind of a little guy, but quite a special guy, he's been given a very special, we would call it a chain mail coat, right? Or a chain mail vest. But this isn't any old chain mail vest. This is a vest of mithril. Now, think of silver, think of gold, mix it all together with platinum and a very, very hard metallic substance, and you're getting close to mithril. But Bilbo gives his nephew Frodo this vest of mithril. Now, mithril actually protects him from spear thrusts and sword jabs and stuff like that. But he has no idea of its value. No idea whatsoever. He's wearing this under his shirt and under his vest, and you can see it on the next screen. But Paul writes and says, God has given you this incredible, valuable, mysterious, precious gift. It's the gift of his grace, the gift of his goodness, the gift of his love. Now, Frodo has this gift, and he doesn't realize, because one day he hears the dwarves. You've just got to go with me on this story if you're not into Lord of the Rings. He hears them talking. They're talking about mithril, because they made and designed mithril, and they're saying that a mithril vest will be worth more than all the wealth of Yorkshire and Lancashire, all the shires put together. And Frodo's getting a bit kind of, I'm wearing one of these things. No idea of its value. And then Gandalf, one of the leaders, speaks to them and says, yes, that will be worth, that's just an underestimation of how much this is worth. Now, Frodo is wearing this under his shirt, under his jacket. He has no idea of its value, no idea of its cost, no idea of what it took to make it. And as he listens to them talking, he begins to get the picture. Paul writes to the Ephesian churches, but he writes to us. And he says, part of my job, part of my call is to make this mystery, this glorious, precious, costly mystery known to you, because that's what you are going to become. That's who you're going to become. That's who you now are in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we go around thinking, well, I'm a Christian. We don't realize we are wearing the most costly apparel. We're wearing the most beautiful gift that God could possibly have fashioned for us. And it's his love in Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's serious stuff, this, but this should be making you whoop and holler like nothing. Just imagine you'd won the lottery and you got £34 million on a rollover jackpot. I mean, I'm sure you would just do a little, you know. Well, I'm not sure about you guys. Sometimes you really should try coming to the 11 o'clock service. Then you'd be awake. All right, this is amazing stuff. So there's Frodo wearing this mithril. He has no idea of the immense value. And there's us becoming Christians. And Paul says, I want you to grasp this. I want you to grasp the very heart of it. Because whilst there's massive truth, like words of grace, truth like the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, truth of the cross of Jesus, truth of the resurrection of Jesus, at the heart of all this, you've been adorned, you've been clothed. Not just that, it's riven right through you. It's the immeasurable love of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Trevor. Do I hear an amen? I want to be an auctioneer. Do I hear another amen? Do I hear another amen? Come on. This is immense. Thanks, John. Great. You're waking. This is incredible. Because Paul says, I want you to know this. And he's discovered it for himself. This angry man of venom has been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And he gets on his knees and he prays for this church that he's writing to, or these churches that he's writing to. And he says, I pray Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you being rooted and established in love. Why is Paul praying that? Because there's nothing more important in the whole wide universe. Why is Paul praying that? Because it's more important than church programs. It's more important than Rise or CAP or Heart to Heart. It's more important than community choir or Saturday night outreach events. It's more important than Energize. It's more important than what we do with our youth. It's more important than that. Those things have nothing unless they're riven through, unless they're adorned with us wearing, bearing, sharing, living in and living out the love of God in Jesus Christ. I couldn't begin this year with a better message. And Paul's prayer is on his knees, he's in prison. And as he writes from his prison cell, he says, I've just got one prayer for you. I just pray that you'll know Jesus loves you. But I'll pray that somehow you'll know that that love is immeasurable, immeasurably high, immeasurably deep, immeasurably wide, immeasurably long. And you'll realize that that love is God's love for you. Now, some of us, we get to this bit where we used to sing a song, So High You Can't Get Over It. Some of you remember that song? Yeah, I can. You are smiling at that one. Okay, right, it's great. So High, I won't sing it. But anyway, you know the song. But I just want you to know the love. I want you to know that this is what we exist by, for, with, through. And Paul knows that because it's changed him completely. But I wonder if we do. I wonder if we do when we realize that the whole of this church can only ever truly exist in and for the love of God in Jesus Christ. So I was thinking about this. I was thinking it's a bit like, I gave blood this week. So I was kind of, I was already thinking it as I was driving up to give blood, and I was thinking about this illustration. It kind of got me. Do you know, if you ever need a transfusion, it might not just be blood. You might need saline drip. You might need an antibiotic drip. Or you might need a blood transfusion. Sometimes you're in hospital, you just need those things, and you've been asleep, and you wake up, and there's all these tubes going into you. Because something in your body needs changing, your blood needs changing and renewing, your antibiotics need to be there to get rid of all the bad stuff that's in there, and something needs renewing. And I was thinking that, you know, when they say, oh, well, you're going to need a drip, they don't say, well, we're going to put a line in. You know, that's what they say on the emergency programs on TV. Get a line in. So you're going to put a line in. Megan's laughing because she knows I'm going to get this wrong, right? And so they got the line in, and they said, right, you're going to need some saline. So they get a bucket of saline, and they say, just hold your arm out. We'll chuck it at you, and you just catch it, okay? And you know that doesn't work, don't you? Just don't try it at home, okay? All right? So they put the line in, and it's got to be a direct line. So whatever they want to get in you, saline, antibiotics, blood, whatever else, they need to get that line. It's got to be a direct line. You know, what Paul's praying for is that we will have a love transfusion, a direct line love transfusion that will transform us and change our lives completely. I don't know if you've ever had, I've never had a blood transfusion, but I've seen people who have when I've visited them in hospital. And you go in one day and they look lousy. You go in the following day and they've had a blood transfusion. They look great. It's because they've got somebody else's blood. Not got their blood anymore. They've had somebody else's blood go into their bodies and it's changing them and making them better. You know, 2,000 years ago on a cross, somebody gave his blood, not to make you better, to make you clean. He gave his blood to make you whole. He gave his life so that we can live. But above all, he did it because God loved the world so much that he gave his only son. And it isn't just a transfusion. Paul knew this, that when he wrote about this love, it's not just a transfusion, it's a transformation. that God wants to bring in our lives because of all he is and who he is. So he writes on, in the end, I want to change your life. So, how's it going to touch us this year? How's this love of God? The first thing I want to say is, some of us are sat here and we don't really get that God loves us. God's a million miles distant or a billion miles distant. In fact, the greater they measure this universe and the solar system, the bigger it seems to get and the further God seems to get away. I just want to tell you this morning, God loves you. Not with a Beatles, he loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. Not with that. God loves you with a love that meant he gave his son to pay the price of all the wrong that's in this world and all the wrong that I am and you are and the wrong that we do. God loves you so much that he gave you that kind of costly son sacrificial love. But God loves you. Don't sit there saying, oh, it can't be possible. I'm too bad. My life's too messed up. My brain's too screwed with. Just please receive this morning. The beginning of a brand new year. Step into 2016 knowing this. God loves you. His son's death and resurrection is proof that God will do anything, anything for you to know his love. Please get that. But then let it be a transfusion. Let it be a transformation. Let it change you. And how can you change? Well, just imagine that God's going to put some lines in. Okay, so there you are. You're needing his help. You're needing his change in your life. So what are the lines that are going to go in? Well, if you pick up your little card, you'll find some things that are there that are great clues. First of all, being rooted and established in love. The first thing you can do, the first line in, is simply read God's word. You think, oh, well, I know that one. Don't know it, do it. Read God's word in a way that you may never have done before. Maybe you use some kind of Bible notes, CWR or Bible, you know, broadcast notes. That's great. Try reading the Bible, okay? Try reading a chapter a day or a chapter at a time and just taking one verse. Thinking about this a little bit tonight and just allowing that verse to get into your head and into your heart. One of the best lines into your life for your life changing is God's word. Another line in would be prayer. You've been given this privilege of direct connection with God. Paul talks about that there in this passage. We've been given the privilege of God's presence. So pray. Make it a commitment that God, I'm going to keep that line in. I'm not going to take it out. I'm going to keep the prayer line in because I know being in your presence, I know being connected to you, having prayer life in me, whether I'm out walking or driving, or whether I'm just sitting quietly in a chair or on my knees, I'm going to take time to make sure the connection stays and pray. Another thing you can do, and so many have already said, serve him. Some of us actually, we're energized in God by serving him. Because actually, getting off our backsides and doing something for Jesus works. It puts us in a connection with him. Sometimes it might be stepping out to say something in a service. Sometimes it might be serving coffee. Doesn't matter. Do something for God. Do something that you know is you stepping beyond yourself. Stepping beyond who you are, what you're doing now. Say, I'm going to do this for God in 2016. And if you don't know, then remember you've got that prayer line in. So ask him. Say, God, what can I do for you that's going to move me on in you? Another one would simply be this. And I would say, write this, underwrite this in everything. Live in the wonder of his love. Because if you do that, you'll worship him. If you do that, you'll long to come and honor him and bless his name. If you do that, I guarantee you put those lines into your life, I guarantee 2016 will change you. I guarantee it. Put those lines in, and you will not just have a transfusion, you will have a transformation. So just to wrap up, first of all, seems to me that Paul is saying, live in his love. Live in his love. I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. The more in tune you are with him, the more in love with him, the deeper, the greater will be our ability to live his love out. What will it look like when God's transformed you? Oh, you look a bit like Paul. You don't want to look completely like him because descriptions are that he was bold-legged and bold and fairly short, okay? So you don't want to look completely like Paul. But you get a picture of what Paul's like from the way he writes about the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul says, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble. Be completely gentle. Be completely patient. Be completely united. In other words, if God's love is going to come into your life, you're going to live in his love. But who you are as a person, you'll live out his love. It will make you more patient. It will make you gentle. It will make you humble. It will unite you to Christians, even the ones you don't like, in a way that you will be surprised by. Because his love is in and through you for others. 2016, what a great challenge. Dig deeper. I guess my question is simply this. Will you let God dig deeper? You know, whenever they put that thing in there, they just say, sharp prick. And I go, and it's gone. I want to tell you this. If you let those lines from God's grace of reading his word and prayer and serving him and living in his love, it will cost you. There will be a price to pray. It won't be an armful of blood. It will be your life laid down for him. But you'll love it because you're living in his love. We've got a prayer to pray. And we're going to pray it as we come to communion service. And we're going to pray this prayer. Then the team are going to lead us in a song that will point us towards the communion table. But let's just pick up on this prayer. Let's stand to pray. It's on the back of your prayer cards, but it's on the screen as well. Some of you will be familiar with it because we pray this. It's part of our year that we pray this prayer. Our commitment in 2016 and beyond is being rooted and grounded in God's love. We pray together. Lord, you've called us to be light in this world. Let your light burn brightly through me. I love you, Lord. Help me to show love to others. Fill me with love for the world you have made. We willingly give our time to serve you by serving our community. We gladly give our abilities to serve you by serving where you call us. We cheerfully release our money and possessions to impact the church, the city, and beyond. We will follow wherever your spirit leads, whether it be local, national, or worldwide. We gladly seek God's purpose for our lives through prayer, studying the Bible, and friendship with Christians. Make us a loving community filled with God's life-changing presence. Amen.